Oh, right. Yeah, we're going. Let's do this.
Are we live? Back at it again. Nice. How you doing, buddy?
Don't call it a comeback. I'm good. How are you, Jack?
I'm doing fine. Into our fourth week of isolation. Still not lost. Quite lost our sanity yet, so.
Yeah.
Hanging in there.
The six packs are on the way.
Beers or body? Both.
Both. Hopefully both. I mean, both is ideal, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, then. Hit us with it. What are we going to be talking about today, bud?
So, we are doing answering some questions that have been left on our YouTube comments from the first video. Then we are going to talk a little bit about some of the best pound-for-pound rums you can get your hands on at the moment. Because everyone's going a bit insane, stuck at home. So why not drink some really tasty rum while we're there, is the idea. And we're going to give you some suggestions and some hints and tips on finding stuff that hopefully you won't waste your money on. No one wants to, fork out some money for something that they're not going to enjoy. So I'm going to give you some guidance on some delicious rums that you can buy relatively easily and relatively cheaply for what they actually are. So first things first, we will kick off with one of the questions that got asked on the YouTube, which was someone asked us what our most expensive rum that we'd ever tried was and if we enjoyed it. So
nice.
I think we've both got the same answer.
Yeah. Unless you're lying to me. Unless you're keeping secrets from me.
I don't think there's many more expensive rums in the world that you probably could try, so.
Yeah, no. I think you're right. So, Appleton 50 year, yeah?
Correctamundo, 10.6.
Yeah, so we actually have one of only 800 bottles that are in the entire world in Smuggler's Cove. And obviously, we like to know what we're selling, so we might have had a cheeky taste of it from time to time.
A little dip straw. A little tiny, tiny dip straw.
So, yeah, we have bottle number 301. I believe when it was released, I think it just had a blanket price tag internationally, right? I think it was about $5,000 a bottle.
Yes, so it was $5,000. Yeah, it's $3,500. In GBP.
Nice. Yeah. So, interesting. Very, very interesting and unique product.
I was gonna say, what are your thoughts on it? Because,
I mean, go on. No, I'm interested to see what you say first.
I just think it spent a bit too much time in barrels, to be honest, which kind of takes away a bit from it.
I kind of agree with you. I mean, I like basically all the rums that Appleton Estate have done anyway. I think it's pleasant. I think there's a lot of other things I would spend that kind of money on if I had it lying around burning a hole in my pocket. It is good, but I do agree, obviously it's been sat in the barrels for so long. I think some of the kind of trademark Jamaican funk and fruity flavour doesn't really shine through because a lot of the woodiness from the barrels that it's been sat in for so long, I think kind of overwhelms it a little bit. That isn't to say though that it's not like a very, very interesting product. For people that don't know much about the kind of history of it, the barrels of rum that were used in the blend were actually laid in 62 because the plan for this was basically to commemorate Jamaican independence from the UK. So yeah, it was 1962 when they laid a bunch of the barrels and then bottled it up 50 years later, which is pretty crazy. One of the reasons why it's so expensive is due to like how rare it is. As I said before, there's only 800 bottles in the world. And there's a reason why you don't see too many rums that are 50 years old. Typically, well, I mean, as we discussed a little bit in the last podcast, primarily rum is made in countries that have got warmer climates, right? And that's due to the fact that sugar grows there more proficiently, and as a result, there tended to be more plantations back in the day, and therefore there's a more long history and understanding of rum making and production. So nowadays, although this comes with the caveat that rum is now made all around the world and aged in various different ways and places, primarily it is in the warmer countries and warmer climates. So something like the Caribbean islands, like Jamaica, is a perfect place to age rum. And that is because the heat actually almost speeds up the process a little bit. I think we've discussed this before. I know we go into it a little bit in our masterclasses. They say kind of as a bit of a rule of thumb, I don't know how accurate this is, but rum will age about 3 times faster in a warmer climate than it will in a colder one. So that obviously has a lot of pros. It adds a lot of complexity very, very quickly, but there are also some cons as well. You do lose quite a lot of the rum due to evaporation, or what is romantically called the angel's share. On average, you're going to lose about 8 to 10% of a volume of a barrel every single year in a really warm climate like in Jamaica. So to avoid me having to do any quick maths, let's say in theory you had a 100-litre barrel. After the first year alone, you'd only have like 90 to 92 litres left. Then the following year, that would whittle down again to like 84, and so on and so forth until
I think it works out.
Have very little.
I think it works out about basically after 7 years, you'd end up with about 49 litres of rum left.
Yeah, yeah. Now, typically, the barrels are a lot bigger, and like Appleton Estates, a lot of their rums are blends. The 50 year is no different. It is a blend of a bunch of different barrels, all aged for at least 50 years. There will actually be some rum in there that is older than 50 years. So it is a blend of a lot of barrels, but obviously all of those are evaporating and you're losing all of that volume from all those different the barrels that you're storing. So to have something sat for 50 years, it takes a lot of care, precision, and you're going to lose a lot as well. So it's probably not the most cost-effective thing in the world to do. So that's why it's so rare, and it's why it's so valuable, and it is it's definitely something that's worth trying if you are a bit of a rum enthusiast. If you come across one of the bottles, because there are so few in existence,
it's certainly something that has never really been done before or since. Like this was really they were released in what, 2012, is that right?
I think it was 2012. Yeah.
And I don't think we'll really see anything like that from any other distillery, really. I don't know anyone that would have that sort of older stock lying around for a similar release.
I was reading a little while ago that Appleton Estate are actually planning on doing like a centenary one in 2062.
Oh my god.
I think they laid down a bunch of barrels. Is it 2012 or 2014?
I think, are they not the like leftovers from the 50 year?
I think they mixed it in with
some new make spirit, didn't they? So some will be, I don't think, some of it will be 100 years, but some of it will be like 50 years as well.
Yeah, let's have a little look.
In the little blend. That'll be a wonderful 70th birthday gift for me, Jack Mitchell.
if we make it that far, that is.
Well, fingers crossed with the wonders of modern science. I'll be half robot by then.
It's like one of those heads in a jar on Futurama. Feed you some rum every day, keep you going. Nice.
Rum and fish food, or whatever they give them.
So, I mean, that I think must be by far and large the most expensive rum that we've tried. We have tried some very, very unique things like when we went to visit Main Rum Company. We tried a bunch of their exclusive barrels, didn't we? Had a little taster, a little sampling of a few bits.
Yes.
But the Appleton Estate 50 year is certainly the most, by far, the most expensive commercial rum that we've tried.
Right, so that is kind of covers that question quite nicely. I suppose we should move on to the second question that got asked, which was from our good friend Steve, Big Steve. And it was about daiquiris and our sort of favourite kind of way to make daiquiris and favourite rum to use in daiquiris, which is quite an extensive extensive list, because we love daiquiris and we drink them all the time. It's a really good way to kind of see if you can get any more out of like a rum that kind of is quite nice anyway, that you enjoy. It's kind of a nice way, very simple to make. So if anyone, for anyone that doesn't know, it's literally just rum, lime and sugar. So it's very simple. But it's probably difficult to get right a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think because of the simplicity, it's like there's nowhere to hide, is there? So like if you get the balances off a little bit, or you're using a product that's not too tasty, that will really shine through. It's not like a daiquiri is kind of like dulled down with loads of extra flavorings or sweeteners or lengtheners. It's like you say, it's very, very plain and simple, just rum, lime and sugar. So if you get it right, it's an amazing drink, but it is quite easy to mess up and get wrong.
Oh yeah, there is nothing worse than a really bad daiquiri that's completely unbalanced. It's not pleasant to drink. I don't think anyone would enjoy it. It pains me to say it, even if it's too much rub in there, it actually kind of ruins the drink a little bit.
Yeah, it's all about that balance, isn't it? It's all about the balance. Me personally, did he say like what our favourite recipe was for it, like our spec?
Yes, he would love to know kind of our ideal ratios, etc.
Yeah, I think typically I would go for 60ml rum, 25ml lime, and then 10 to 15 of sugar syrup. So you've got a nice good measure of the rum in there. That's really going to shine through. But then you've got the lime juice that just kind of cuts into that a little bit. And then you've got the sugar that will just round it off nicely and just kind of negate some of the sourness from the lime juice. So 60ml rum, 25ml lime, 10 to 15 sugar syrup. I guess you're the same, right? I mean, we've drank many daiquiris together. So.
We've had a fair few, yeah. I kind of like to do it by taste, but as a rule, I would probably go that to start off with, and then you can kind of always add a little bit more of each one of the ingredients to kind of balance it out. I think doing it by taste is a very important thing, certainly for us bartenders. Like it's the one drink I will always make sure I will taste before I give it to anyone, just to make sure I'm happy with it. And I think I've only ever made two daiquiris that I've been completely 100% happy with in many years of bartending and making them. It's
very good to know you're kind of holding yourself to a high standard. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like we said, it's kind of one of the hardest drinks to get right, but it's also a great drink to drink at home as well, because it is so simple. Like, I was making some last Friday, and you know, it's a very easy thing to do. Buy some limes, buy some rum. Easy.
Yeah. And making sugar syrup, you could use caster sugar if you really wanted to, couldn't you? You could just shake it up with some sugar.
I was using caster sugar, yeah, because I didn't make any sugar syrup.
Fair enough. But there are ways in which you can make your own sugar syrups at home, and that actually isn't too difficult of a process as well. You basically just have to work out what ratios you want in regards to the, you know, the sugar and the water in there. It depends how syrupy you want it, really. Typically, the ratios will be around 2-1, right? Sugar to water, so it'll be quite a thick syrup kind of there.
Yeah, so you can either do 2-1 sugar to water, or a few people do 1-1 sugar and water as well, like equal parts. So, but 2-1 probably works better in daiquiris if you're only using sort of 10 or 15 mil. Kind of has the sweetness to kind of cut through the rum, the kind of balance out the rum and the lime juice.
Yeah. So what about go-to rums then that you're using in a daiquiri?
I think me and you have very similar thoughts on this, which might not necessarily agree with the general public, probably, because we like quite boozy really sort of punchy rums that have quite a lot of flavour to them. But certainly something like Veritas is, for me, a really good kind of starting point for people. It is a touch boozy. It's 47%. So this is a Foursquare Veritas. So it's a bit of a blend between some Foursquare stuff from Barbados and some Hampton stuff from Jamaica as well. It's completely unaged, I believe.
I think it's very flavorful. Yeah, I think there's a bit of a... an unaged Hampton in there and an unaged Foursquare, but I think there is also like a 2 year Foursquare pot still in there as well. So that's where obviously some of the flavour is pulling from alongside the Hampton. Because even though it's unaged, like, it's still very, very funky, that Jamaican rum element to it. So all those three things combined, you've got the kind of like crispness and cleanness and also that kind of like light element that you get typically from like a rum from Barbados, but then it also comes with that extra funk and also a little bit of complexity from that aged 2 year rum that's in there as well. So it provides like a really, really nice backbone for a daiquiri.
Absolutely. I mean, like the original one was probably made with something like Bacardi, Carte Blanche at the time, which was around sort of 1900. It's actually an engineer invented the daiquiri, fun fact for you. And he would have used probably not quite the Bacardi Carta Blanca that we know now, but it'd probably be something a bit more similar to, they released a couple of years back, a heritage version. So a touch boozy, I think it's about 43%, something like that. And that would probably be a bit more similar to what would have been used back in the day in the original daiquiri. So you kind of want something quite light. Another one of our favourites is probably Matusalem Patino, because it almost has this sort of limey taste to it by itself. It has got a little bit of citrus within citrus notes in the rum itself, which kind of obviously lends itself very well to a daiquiri. And that's kind of... it's a bit more smooth, I'd say, for a daiquiri. It's really nice. You can...
Yeah, it's almost got like an extra element of sweetness to it, doesn't it, Matusalem Platino? It's kind of dry, but it's got like a bit of a sweetness to it. And as you say, the citrusy, that kind of citrusy element, when you mix it in a daiquiri, it's just super crisp and clean. It works really, really nice.
Yeah, it's... I believe you can get it on Whiskey Exchange. It'll be about, I imagine, £22 bottle, maybe, something like that. So it's not super expensive, but it's a really good daiquiri rum. I think it's only 40% as well, so it makes very nice, very easy drinking daiquiris. Anyway, you'll find yourself being like, yeah, okay, I could drink another one of them, and then before you know it, the bottle's empty, which is a very dangerous game to play.
Should I think of some more? Plantation 3 Star is always a good shout. I'm a fan of that in a daiquiri. I think it's Plantation 3 Star is somewhat similar to Veritas in the sense that it's a blend of a few different rums, and it's got some kind of more aged rum elements in there that adds a little bit of complexity and flavour to it. So Plantation 3 Star is actually named because of the rums that it uses in the blend. So the three stars refer to Trinidad, Barbados, and Jamaica. The element from Barbados is completely unaged in Plantation 3 Star. The Trinidad is like 2 to 3 years, I believe. And then the Jamaican is like a full 10, which is like obviously very, very unique really for a white rum to include an element that is so aged. And I believe that they filter it in a slightly different way to the norm.
Yeah, there's a little bit of unaged Jamaica in there as well. There's a little bit of unaged Jamaican rum in there as well, yeah.
Yeah. But there is like that 10-year, right? That's where...
It's both.
Yeah. So, filtration, as I was saying, is something that I'm kind of looking a little bit more into at the moment. I don't know too much about it. I'm a lot more familiar with like distillation and fermentation and stuff like that. But typically with white rum, what will be done is it will be filtered in some way in order to strip out a lot of the colour And whether it's a pro or a con can be debated, but often that strips out quite a lot of the flavour as well. So that is why your stereotypical white rum is quite, what's the way to put it? It's just quite basic, right? It's not very complex. It's quite raw. And
yeah, I think if you're using charcoal filtration, it mm-hmm. takes away a lot of the aroma. And 80% ish, give or take, of your sort of actual taste comes from the aroma of things. So
yeah,
kind of subdue stuff quite a bit.
I was trying to think of a way to describe it without saying bland, because obviously it's not what they are. Like, a lot of white rums really aren't bland tasting at all, but if something's been sat in a barrel for a few years, it obviously picks up a lot of the flavour from the vessel that it's been sat in. If that is then filtered in one of these ways, it's that element that kind of gets stripped away from it. Plantation 3 Star, I believe they use like a carbon filtration method. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I believe that there is a way that they do that in which it strips quite a lot of the colour, but I don't think it takes quite as much away from the aroma and the flavours. And also as well, the mouthfeel on Plantation 3 Stars, like a little bit more creamy, I think. It's just got like a little bit of a thicker mouthfeel, which again is quite nice in a daiquiri because it just like really, really smooths it out nice and rounds it off.
Yeah, I think the Plantation is like, it's not quite clear either. It's like a very, very, say, light wee colour, we'll go with.
You're not selling it, I don't think.
It doesn't taste like light wee. I mean, not that I would know. But it is delicious in the bathroom.
Yeah, all right, we'll move on from Plantation 3. I'm just trying to think of anything else. Daiquiri-wise, that we could recommend. Go on, shoot. We're probably going to say the same thing. No, you go for it.
I was going to say, if you want to be super, super hardcore and make a really nice daiquiri, you could use the Velia Forsyth 502, which is it's from Worthy Park, Surrey in Jamaica. And again, it's another white rum, but it is so... To be honest, batshit crazy compared to other white rums. It's ridiculous. It's got a very high ester content, which basically just means more flavour. And me and Jack had one a couple of weeks back, and it fairly blew our minds, I think it's fair to say. It just packs so much of a punch. I mean, it is, what, 57%?
Yeah. The thing is, though, with that, it's almost like the higher ABV, it works really nicely. It almost adds like a sweetness to it. It's really palatable. It's not like you drink it and you get a really deep burn. It's super smooth, super fruity. It's really, really complex. And that all kind of comes, as you said, from like that really high ester content, which in turn comes from like quite a long fermentation process, I imagine, at the start of the distillation. I presume that they'll have the molasses and the yeast interacting for quite some time to really generate a lot of funk.
We do love a bit of Jamaican funk. What else would you recommend then, Jack, for daiquiris?
I'm just trying to think of things that we've been drinking in recent times.
You said you made some with just regular Bacardi the other day, and they were quite nice.
I did, yeah. I mean, there are most households, certainly if you've had a house party in the last 12 months, you'll find like a dusty old bottle of Bacardi in the back of the cupboard somewhere, you know. And it's, yeah, Bacardi Superior or Carta Blanca, whatever you refer to it as. It's absolutely fine. Like, it stands up quite well in a daiquiri, I think. It's certainly a better use of it than just making like Bacardi and Cokes, in my opinion. I think it works quite nice in a DAC. Just thinking about it, one thing that, if you really want to go out there, Seju daiquiris.
That's a very specific palate, I think, that would enjoy them. But yeah.
Yeah. That's a really, really unique an interesting rum. And Seju is actually an agricole. It's not a molasses-based rum. It's made from sugarcane juice instead. So that adds an element to it that's very, very different to what you might have had before in a daiquiri. Seju, well, all the Clarin range are really, really interesting and unique. They all hail from Haiti. And they're made in quite, for want of a better phrase, they're very, very artisanal, very small-scale production, typically from the picking of the actual sugar cane right through to the, you know, distillation of it, the full works. It's all very kind of small team that are doing it. It's all very hands-on. And it, as a result, is quite results in quite a unique product, I think. But of the range that's currently available, I think the Seju is a favourite of both of ours. It's I think it takes quite a what's the way to put it?
Seasoned palate.
A seasoned palate is a very good way to put it. Yeah, a seasoned palate to enjoy it. It's how would you even describe it? It's a tough one to explain.
So yeah, it's made with like a very quite a rare type of actual sugarcane. So the guy, it's named after the guy who's sort of sugarcane farm and sort of so his name's Michel Seju, and he has like a 30-acre sugarcane plantation where he grows this very specific type that he uses to make this agricole. So like Jack said, it's completely unaged. It's almost like it's very tricky to explain. It's very complex. It's very, again, it's very vegetal, but then there's like sort of fruity notes in there as well that work really well in the daiquiri that kind of expand a little bit more when you add sort of lime and sugar to it. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's certainly, I wouldn't say if you've never had a daiquiri before, go straight in for a Clarin Seju one. maybe warm up to it, but it's certainly very interesting.
Yeah, I think one of the key things with it is it gets a very unique flavour derived from the production methods. So with agricole rum, as I was alluding to before, rather than using molasses as a base to then ferment with yeast, they actually use sugarcane juice or a sugarcane syrup. And the way that they extract that is sugarcane will actually be harvested. And well, imagine like long, big, tall blades of grass. That's what sugarcane looks like. And what they'll do is they'll farm the sugarcane and then they will roll it or press it and they will extract juice out of that. And that will be the product they then use to ferment with yeast to start the whole process of making rum. But I think certainly with Seju, I'm not sure about the others, but what they do is they actually use like a concentrated form of that juice. So they reduce it over fires. And the fire is actually basically kindled from the excess or the leftovers from the sugarcane that's been picked. So they actually burn that excess sugarcane and concentrate that juice down. So it adds a kind of like smoky, fruity, funky flavor to it before it even gets started with the fermentation. And then once they actually start fermenting it, they're just basically leaving it out in vats and letting it ferment with wild yeast rather than adding their own specific strain in there. So it ends up kind of developing into a very, I imagine each batch is a little bit different and quite unique. In the way in which it tastes and smells. And probably, I think the ABV will fluctuate a little bit as well. I'm sure that
I believe it changes like year to year. So they do like a fairly yearly release. So it's usually around, 54-ish%, something like that?
Yeah. But I think when you concentrate sugarcane juice down like that, I think you can actually store it a little bit. So that might be a reason why they do it as well, because they might be able to keep that for consistency. I'm pretty sure that if you just freshly press sugarcane juice, you've got to use it quite quickly before, you know, it just goes
starts
bad.
Starts to deteriorate, yeah.
Yeah. But obviously through using this method that they have and, you know, concentrating it down a little bit, it adds that unique flavor to it. But I also think it might help them in, you know, having stores of it as well, which is quite an innovation.
I think, to be honest, most rooms will be okay to use in a daiquiri. I think anything you've got lying around at home really shouldn't be too much of an issue. I mean, even some of the spice stuff, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, you can definitely add in, you know, more aged and more complex rums if you want to. My personal preference, I prefer things that, again, I can't think of a word that's not bland for some reason, because they're really not bland. They're just like things that taste a bit more crisp and clean. Yeah, exactly. It, in my opinion, makes for a more well-rounded and like refreshing drink, you know, and daiquiris are that thing where you can sink one, sink another, keep going. And I think part of that is due to that.
I have seen him do it as well.
it's a skill. It's one for the CV. Yeah, I think that is in large part due to the rum that you're using in there. It's not quite as what's the way to describe it? It's not challenging the palate quite as much, if that makes sense. I don't know if it does.
Yeah, no, I think that's it's probably a good way to explain it. It's something that, if you're going to have a few, I think you don't want something overly complicated that you're going to have to think about too much.
Mm.
I think you want something that is very enjoyable and a bit moorish is the key. But even something as simple as like Bacardi Carta Blanca would be perfect for that. You know, I would quite happily sit there and drink probably too many. I'm trying to think anything else. I mean, you could do a few. There's a few variations out there. I mean, there's the Gale Seal Daiquiri, which we've tried experimented with a few times. Which essentially is it's kind of using Barbados rum, and you add a little bit of Velvet for Learning, right?
Yes, yeah.
And then another classic one would be the Hemingway Daiquiri, which is made famous by its namesake, Ernest Hemingway, because he was notoriously diabetic, so, and a bit of a pisshead, to be honest. So we double the rum and take out the sugar, add some grapefruit instead of lime, and use a little bit of maraschino as well, which is like a liqueur. It's quite nice.
It's got a cherry flavour to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're great to drink. You can drink a lot of those as well. It's dangerous.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think daiquiris are such an important cocktail just for the whole cocktail scene, because it's kind of what we'd often refer to as like a root cocktail. That there formed the basis for so many other cocktails to follow. There are so many drinks that are like somewhat derived from just that simple mix of rum, lime and sugar. Is such a good starting point to go from. And then if you are making them at home, you know, you can play around with certain rums that you like in that rum, lime and sugar mix, and then you can start adding other flavors, other elements to it. One that we have on our menu currently in Smugglers is like a lychee and elderflower daiquiri. So we use some lychee juice in there, we use a little bit of elderflower cordial. We use like a lychee liqueur as well as your lime and your rum, and that makes like a really nice, crisp, clean, refreshing, summery drink. So you can start to play around with a lot of different flavors, and I mean, I think it's probably goes down as my all-time favorite cocktail. It seems like a bit of a cop out when someone asks, but you know what your favorite cocktail is, because it's such a basic and simple one, if you will. But it's just, you know, I think sometimes the old ways are the best, and it's no messing around. 60, 25, 10.
The thing is, when they're right, they are so good. So good.
Agreed.
And you can kind of, like Jack said, you can experiment kind of. There's a few things where people will use half of rum from, you know, Jamaica, half rum from Guyana, and kind of really sort of expand out that sort of flavor profile of it and kind of get some more stuff going on there. You can mess around with ratios and you'll figure out something that you you personally will enjoy, because I think everyone's preference will be different, but it certainly is probably one of two classic rum cocktails, really, that have stood the test of time for a long time. So you got daiquiris and, I'd say, Mai Tais, really.
Yeah.
But certainly daiquiri's been around for a little bit longer, and for a good reason. I highly, highly recommend. So yeah, that's pretty much our, I'd say that's pretty much our daiquiri advice. Just drink some and make some.
Play around and
yeah. Drink as many as possible. That's our tactic with it, and do as much research as you can. So we're going to talk a little bit about best pound for pound rums as well, because we know everyone that we get quite a few people asking us, kind of, you know, oh, what can I buy for at home? What can I drink at home that's really easy and not very expensive? Which we're in exactly the same boat, I think. Like, you know, we want to drink some stuff that's fairly cheap at home as well that we can enjoy. So there's a few things we've obviously already spoke about, like sort of rums for daiquiris. None of those really that we've mentioned, apart from maybe the Velia Foresight, are really expensive. In terms of stuff that you can kind of, is very versatile for cocktails, I think, or kind of just in general. So you want something that's half decent, basically across the board for, you know, cocktails, and a few different types of cocktails as well. So if you want to do like a little rum punch or something at home, like rum and, you know, a bit of citrus and some juice, that's doable and it kind of stands up and doesn't get lost. You want something that kind of works all right in a daiquiri as well for at home, if you want to be fancy daiquiri maybe. You want something that works well with Coke, something that works well with juice as a mixer, and something that is probably all right on its own.
I was just about to say, yeah. By itself.
Cut out
of the middleman.
One of the ones that is like super readily available and is actually really well made and pretty good is, and I'd recommend anyone getting just having a bottle knocking around, is probably Mount Gay Eclipse. You know, it's one of those rums that is, it's been around for a long time. You know, it's in Tesco, it's in Asda, it's in Sainsbury's, it's in wherever you're going to do your normal food shop. And it's less than 20 quid pretty much everywhere. I haven't seen it really for more than that. And it kind of covers pretty much all bases. It's all right with Coke. It's all right with like apple juice, something as simple as that. It even works pretty all right with tonic, quite interestingly. I mean, if you've got a G&T drinker in the family and there's some spare tonic knocking about, just give it a little try. All right in a daiquiri, again, stands up pretty well to sort of pineapple juice or something like that as well. So at the moment it's actually on offer, I believe, in Asda for about £15.50 instead of 18 quid, that I've seen anyway on the internet, just having a little look around, which is ridiculously cheap for a bottle.
That is ridiculously cheap.
it's so good as well. It ticks a lot of boxes, put it that way. So another really sort of kind of a rum that you see knocking around in a lot of places is Appleton Signature Blend. Again, you see that sort of in Tesco. Not sure if Asda stock it, but probably you'll have seen it around on the shelves in supermarkets, certainly. And again, that is kind of, so it's basically Appleton's, not even their entry level, really. It's kind of like the third one along in the grand scheme of things. But it's kind of their most popular expression, really. And you kind of see it in a lot of places. That's another one of these rooms that ticks a lot of boxes. There's probably a little bit more going on in it compared to the Mount Gay, I think. There's a little bit more sort of backbone there, flavour there from kind of its Jamaican-ness, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Yeah, it stands up very nice in cocktails, Mai Tais and things like that. As you say, that just extra little bit of flavour. There's a blend in there. It's about 3 to 4 years, isn't it? The signature blend. So it's got that few years of complexity and is that funkiness and fruitiness, the kind of like ripe bananas and things like that start to kind of like shine through. So if you're making something if you're making any kind of like mix of rum with fruit juice, it's one that stands up really, really nicely and just adds an extra element to it. So as you were saying before, some kind of like rum punch style drink, if you're making like a Mai Tai, something like that, it works quite nicely.
Yeah, I think like, you know, the classic rum, citrus and juice, it's any combination of sort of Appleton as your rum, and then really any form of citrus and or fruit juice will work pretty well. So again, at the moment, that's on offer in Tesco for £16 instead of £21 a bottle, which is quite frankly bloody ridiculous. I don't know how they can knock a £5 off a £21 bottle of rum and still make money. It's madness. For something that sort of holds up so well as well in things. And again, even like if you have like an Appleton signature blend and Coke, it's not a bad drink. It's really not.
Yeah.
Just get the ratio right. Half and half.
Yeah. And just make sure you've got a little lime to squeeze in there as well. Just to round it off nicely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then it's technically classed as a cocktail, so you're all set. Right.
60 mil Appleton, 60 mil Coke. and then we've got and then there's a few others that are kind of our favourites. So we've got a couple from Guyana, something like the 8-year Eldorado. Again, you're probably talking about mid-20s for something like that. It's about £25 a bottle. From what I've seen knocking around, I don't know anything too specific about pricing, but I think it'll be somewhere around there. That's another one of those rums that kind of covers a lot of bases and works very well in everything from a daiquiri to a rum and coke by itself. I believe it's one of the only expressions from Eldorado that doesn't have any sugar in it. Is that right?
I think so. I think the 8-year is one of my favourites, actually. Certainly from... Eldorado do a full range. They do a 3-year, a 5-year, an 8, a 12, a 15, and a 21. And then... after that kind of core range, they also do a 25-year. It's a lot more premium in pricing. And they've got a few other offsets, don't they? That are like specific still-based rums.
So I'm fairly confident Eldorado, we'll be doing a whole podcast on Eldorado.
We'll leave it there for now. I'm sure we'll be discussing it in the near future. But from that whole core range, I think the 8-year is one that kind of gets... forgotten about a little bit sometimes, because I think the 12 to 21, they're sort of classified more as your sipping rums. The 3 years are white, so that's your stereotypical white rum that people use in cocktails and rum and cokes. Same with the 5-year as well. It's just rum and coke. It stands up okay. The 8-year is kind of like in a weird... It sits in between those two. It's like speed rail spirit and sipping rum. Kind of, I think it's forgotten about, but it is one of the, I think it's one of the best of that entire range, the 8-year.
I think that certainly if we're talking about pound for pound rums, the 8-year, the 12 and the 15, all for really what they actually do and what they're kind of made for, are incredible. So the 8's probably about £25 a bottle, but it is delicious. It bridges that gap very well between sort of sipping rum and stuff that you can use in cocktails because it's cheap enough. And you can kind of do either with it. It's great. The 12, like Jack said, the 12 and the 15 are probably a bit more into your sipping territory. But even the 12 year is, I'm fairly confident you can get a bottle for less than £40 if you kind of shopped around. Be about sort of mid-30s, I think about £36. And then if we're talking the 15-year, it's probably a touch over. It's probably about 45.
I think looking at your mid... Yeah, you're looking at your mid-40s, I think.
But the 15 is actually really, really good quality, I think. The price
it is, yeah. And I think with something like Eldorado, it's from Guyana, so traditionally they typically do what we would call dosing, so they'll add a little bit of sugar to the rum after the fact to sweeten it and make it a little bit more palatable, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of something that they've done and they always do, and Eldorado is prime example of like a certainly a gateway into sipping rums. It's for someone that's quite new to trying things like neat spirits out. It's not quite as daunting as having like a cask strength, really in your face, hefty rum. It's nice and it's got that complexity there, but it's also rounded off quite nicely as well. And it does sit at, I think it's 43%, isn't it? So it is a touch stronger.
The 15 is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you certainly don't get that from when you're drinking it. It's I think it won a lot of awards, didn't it? A little while ago when it first kind of came onto the market.
It was released in 1992. It was kind of one of the, I think it was 92 anyway. It was one of the first like sort of long aged rums kind of sent out to sort of worldwide distribution pretty much. Between that and sort of the Diplomatico Reserve Exclusiva.
But I know it gained a lot of attention, didn't it? And I think it was one of those things that really started off the actual whole sipping rum movement. Before then, it was all just using it in cocktails, tiki drinks, and quite a rough, unrefined spirit. When that was brought to the market, it really kind of started off a trend in sipping rums. So it's certainly a good starting point, and it's not, like as you say, it's not cheap by any means, but it's not got a super premium price tag when it's clocking in at 40-odd quid. It's not too bad. I was just having a little look around and trying to think through things that we've been drinking recently, and another rum that kind of sits actually a little bit lower than that price bracket, but it's Dawley's XO. So Dawley's is a Barbados rum, or Bayesian rum, I should say. And you're looking at about £34-35 for a bottle of that. And it's, I think it's like six to eight year blends? Something like that. I know it's around 6 years anyway, and it's actually finished in Oloroso sherry casks. So it adds like an element of sweetness to it. However, that sweetness doesn't come from any sort of added sugar. It just comes from the barrel that it's been finished in. I think anything that's been finished in sherry casks, it adds a really nice kind of like sweet and fruity element to it, which is always good. And again, it's something that is very, very sippable. If rum's something that you're quite new to, there's enough complexity in this one to drink it neat and really enjoy it, but it's also not super overwhelming and overpowering. And I think this one sits at like 40% bang on as well, so it's not super strong ABV-wise, which is, it just ticks all the boxes. It's really, really nice. All these XO.
I think Jack's trying to get a sponsorship from the guys at Foursquare who actually make the Dawley's range.
I think that's something that's so nice about just rum in general. It's age, price, country of origin, everything. Nothing's a definitive note of how good or bad it's going to be. It totally depends on your palate. It totally depends on what you like and what you're looking for. There might be some, 20-year rums that you really don't like. There might be some 5-year rums you absolutely love. And that's not to say that you're wrong. It's just there's such a wide variety coming out of all these different places. And I wouldn't get bogged down with something like the age of a rum or the colour that it looks in the bottle. Look for maybe the country that it's come from, look at the branding, and then just if you're really, really unsure, just read into it a little bit, because there's so much information out there now. And as we discussed a little bit in the last chat that we had, there's been a push and it's constantly growing for transparency and honesty and just information. There's plenty of content out there on basically any rum that you could think of that you would see in the shops or that you'd maybe want to get online. You'll be able to find all the information that you would want.
I think most people, certainly when you start trying, like I would say to people, try stuff from as many different countries as you can. You'll certainly find a style or similarities between other distillers from that country, and kind of go from there. Like I know personally, like my favorite is Jamaican stuff. I certainly drink enough of it.
Speaking of Jamaican and pound for pound kind of good quality rum.
We're getting so much better at these segues after the second one. There we go.
Nailed it. Now, this is one that's probably for people that are a little bit more, they've been drinking rum a bit more and they like something that's a little bit stronger. But Smith & Cross is a Jamaican rum and it's basically like a...
That's why I'm drinking again right here for the second week in a row.
Yeah, so it's fantastic. I mean, it's something that the likes of me and Andy like just by itself, but it is 57%, so it does pack quite a punch. It does have a very, very robust flavour profile to it. So if you are wanting to try something a little bit more powerful, if you will, Smith & Cross is a great option, but maybe start by using it in cocktails. Again, I know it sounds a bit weird for us nowadays because we don't drink too much rum and Coke, but like a Smith & Cross with Coke and a bit of lime in it, it really does shine through because the flavour is that powerful. It really stands up.
Pound for pound rums, if you buy a bottle of Smith & Cross and use it for rum and Cokes, actually what you're doing is kind of saving yourself money. It's about £36 a bottle, I think, right?
I think
it's
not
the cheapest, but if you're using it in rum and Cokes, you can probably use about half the amount and you'll still be able to taste it. You could have a single instead of a double in like a sort of a 300ml glass, say. You could have maybe 30ml instead of 60ml that you pour yourself at home, and you'll still be able to taste it. It'll still shine through even with the such strong flavour that Coke is.
Yeah.
Still going to make an impact. You're still going to know you're drinking a rum and Coke, but you can use half the amount. So therefore, it kind of works out as, you know, 18 quid maybe for a bottle of rum, or it'll last you twice as long. Maybe not twice as long. The same amount of time, but you'll be more drunk.
I like your thinking. But yeah, I mean, it's a great rum. I don't understand why it's so cheap, to be honest. Certainly for the, you know, for the ABV and the quality of it. And again, it's a great one if you're starting to branch out into cocktail making a little bit. You know, just whack it in some kind of blend of lemon or lime juice, pineapple juice, bit of passion fruit, something like that. It's just, it's always going to shine through. You can have a little dose of it in any drink and you know that it's there. And it's...
We've certainly messed around with some cocktails and used about 7.5 mil in a drink, and you still notice it. It is crazy.
The amount of sort of
flavour you can get from like 7.5 mil in a drink that is maybe, you know, 200 mils nearly. It's mind-boggling how much it kind of just cuts through stuff, like the flavour of it. But it's not a bad flavour, you know what I mean? It's delicious. It tastes... I'll leave that to you, Jack. How flavour profile of Smith & Cross?
Oh, I don't even... You know what? I think we should just leave it for them to try.
Yeah.
If you want to step up your... Yeah, put it this way. If you want to step up your lockdown, your quarantine, a notch... go for
that leads on to another classic Jamaican, Rare Nephew. I mean, there's people I imagine that have just recoiled in terror at the mention of Rare Nephew because they've had it as a shot on a night out because it's boozy, but it's really not its necessarily intended method of being drank, I suppose. Like Ray and Ting, Ray and Pineapple is delicious. And again, you don't need the locks, it's 63%. It's £26 from Asda at the moment, which is ridiculously cheap.
That's insane. Yeah. That's crazy. So
it's basically the same. It's the same people as Appleton that really make it. And it is one of those things that people see and are terrified of because they look at a little in the bottom left hand corner of the label, that little 63%. And it shouldn't be the case at all. I think it's one of those things that you can just use it more sparingly and still reap the rewards of the wonderful flavors of Ray. You know, you get your pineapple, you get your passion fruit, you get all sorts of like really nice fruity flavors coming through in it. And you just need to maybe instead of pouring this in a glass, pour this in a glass.
Yeah. And we were talking really about talking about daiquiris before, weren't we? And there's a lot of different specs and recipes out there for what is known as a nuclear daiquiri. And typically, Ray Nephew will be used as a base for a nuclear daiquiri. So have a little look online, have a little look at some different recipes out there. And if there's one that you've maybe got all these ingredients for, give that a whirl. Because again, it's a methodology of using it in a drink where you'll be balancing it out with a lot of other elements so that the Ray Nephew flavor can still shine through, but it maybe makes it a bit more palatable if you're slightly more new to drinking rum. You're not just sipping it neat. There's some other elements in there just cutting through it a touch. But you're not going to miss out on too much of the flavour that it imparts because it's so strong and robust, it will still shine through. I'm a big fan of Ray and Nephew. It's funny when we talk to people about it and everyone just looks at you like, what are you talking about?
And you're like, no, it's delicious. Yeah, people don't believe us a lot of the time when we say it's actually incredibly good. I think people are just scared by the percentage, and that shouldn't be the case. I think use less and enjoy more, I'd probably say. I mean, I'm not employed by them, but you know, if anyone wants to do an advert, or a nephew advert, I'll be there.
I think just from having a quick look online, I think the vast majority of suppliers, so there were some things you mentioned initially that are widely available in most supermarkets. Then there have been a few things that we've mentioned that you're going to be looking on slightly more specialized online stores, but all of the main places where you can get these products, so if you're looking at Whiskey Exchange or Master of Malt, places like that, I believe that they are all still available for delivery. They're doing it in a safe way, of course, given the current circumstances and whatnot, but I think the vast majority of suppliers that are out there are currently offering up a delivery service, so you shouldn't have too many problems.
I forgot to mention, apologies. speaking of Appleton before, the Appleton 12 year is, I think it's probably one of Mind Jack's favourite rums, and it's on Amazon Prime right now. So I had a little look last night at maybe, it's probably like 11 o'clock last night. So so today is what, Wednesday?
I think so.
But that was like still for delivery on Thursday on Amazon Prime. So it's still next day, and it was £32.77 a bottle. And on Amazon Prime, obviously, it's free next day delivery. I mean, kind of put some restrictions in with Corona, but it's still for that. And that is, quite frankly, a ridiculously cheap price for what it is. It's wonderful room.
Yeah.
Absolute bargain. I'm pretty sure that's everything. I mean, shout out to probably Chairman Spice, if you want to drink Spice Rum, which a lot of people do. Spend an extra couple of quid and go and maybe wait a day or two and get a bottle of that online somewhere, because it's about 25 quid at the moment, whereas Chairman Spice sitting at about 20.
Yeah, Chairman Spice, cranberry juice, little squeeze of fresh lime in there, you can't go wrong.
There you go. And Jack's actually offering personal refunds on the difference if you don't like Chairman Spice between
As long as you send me the remainder of the bottle, then we can work out a deal. Yeah,
I think that's pretty fair. So I pretty much think that is all from us, unless you've got any more cheapish, readily available options, Jack Mitchell.
I think that covers all bases for now. Until next time we meet, and then next time we have a chat. Should I think if there's anything else? No, I don't think there's anything I want to add. I think we've waffled on for long enough today. Hopefully there's been something in there for people listening that they can take away, they'll find useful, and hopefully make the current circumstance a bit more bearable, you know?
we'll just turn these into like public service announcements. Like what we need to buy this week.
We need to try and arrange. We need to both get a couple of bottles that are the same, and we can do like a little, maybe do like a little interactive tasting at some point. I think that'd be quite interesting. Or if we had like a bunch of people that all recommend. Yeah, that is a fair point.
We will see you all next time, guys. Thanks for listening if you've made it this far, and hopefully we'll be in a much better state of affairs next time you hear from us, which should hopefully be around the same time next week, probably.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and do these weekly, aren't we? I mean, it's strangely enough, we're not very busy at the moment, so it's quite easy to pin down a date and time to do these. But
yeah.
I think if anyone has any more questions, anything they'd like to ask or know about, or just intrigued, or if you do actually get any of the rums that we've suggested and you try them and you like them or dislike them, just let us know. Hopefully we've managed to steer you in the right direction.
So our Instagram is just run with it, all one word, just run with it. Sorry, I should enunciate. If you're watching this, you're probably watching it on YouTube anyway, so give us a subscribe, etc. But we'll definitely see you all next time.
Absolutely.
Have fun. Bye-bye.